Rolene Marks, how are you? How's your week been?
I am so excited, Howard, because even I knew the answer to who the New York Knicks and the LA Lakers are.
Yeah, well, I think Louis just, he felt bad for us because he's been giving us very difficult questions lately. So I think this was his way of saying, all right, now you can go and have a good Shabbos. But the good news was, and I believe you were quite emotional about returning to the mall yesterday, Rolene. Rumor has it that you shed a tear or two.
I have to say that it has been an emotional week. It's actually been a very positive week. And just to add on to the sports report, I know many of you are sports fans and support Israeli Premier League soccer, football, whatever it's called. And matches will resume on the 30th of May, albeit without spectators. So we are starting to return. But yes, it was actually quite emotional to go to the mall the other day. I mean, first of all, it was stinky of disinfectant. I've never been so happy to smell disinfectant more in my life.
Yeah.
But we are lifting the restrictions more and more because our COVID-19 stats are on a very positive trajectory. This doesn't mean that we are stopping the social distancing, the hygiene, the hand washing, the very, very, very strict and enforced wearing of masks. But it was such a small thing, but it's this whole experience has taught us really to experience the small things. It was walking into the mall and seeing the signs of welcome back hanging in the storefront windows as the stores were preparing to open. It was actually quite emotional. And yes, I did share a tear, not just because I was ecstatic to be back shopping again.
Oh, please. That's exactly why. Zanati can relate. Zanati, am I right?
I really can. I can't wait.
Zanati and I plan to grow the economies, people.
One pair of shoes at a time.
We are GDP carriers.
Exactly. That's our excuse. We're sticking with us. Am I right, Zanati?
Mm-hmm. All right. So there you have it. So Israel making a tremendous amount of positive progress. It's really amazing to see how numbers are falling. It's really, really something spectacular. That said, lockdown wasn't quite the same as that which Anne Frank experienced. Am I right, Rolene?
It's very, very important that we have this discussion because I'm seeing more and more on social media coming out of the global news, these horrendous comparisons between lockdown or quarantine. And I still believe, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Dr. Mabu can correct me, there's a big difference between being in lockdown and being in quarantine. They're two different things. But our experience is not what Anne Frank's experience was. The amount of people on social media, especially Twitter, saying, now we understand what Anne Frank went through. This is just like what Anne Frank went through. Let us just clear something up. We are staying home on our couches with our internet and our Netflix and our never-ending supply of food and our ability to communicate each other to keep healthy and not to overwhelm our medical services. We are not in hiding from a brutal war machine that has decided that from birth till the oldest that we can be, that we are less than human, that we are subhuman, and that we are to be hunted down and annihilated. There's something completely, completely different about this. And I cannot believe that today in 2020 we actually have to have this conversation.
Yeah, well, we're going to be having the same conversation a little bit later with Coconut Kale. She's a comedian, and she put up a very, very funny spoof about, you know, why this is, you know, lockdown is like apartheid. And it's equally absurd, as absurd. I don't understand. Is it the level of self-centeredness? Is it the level of a lack of resilience that makes us think that anything that is unpleasant, well, it's basically like having your whole family murdered during the time of the Holocaust. Like the absurdity of it is so astounding that it's actually funny, but it's not because people are being serious about it.
Well, I think it's multiple things. I think that it's a lack of resilience and a sense of entitlement of many. I think it is an astounding level of ignorance. And I think it's also a very, very high level of tone deafness. We are experiencing a global pandemic. Yes, it is absolutely unprecedented. And apart from fearing for our health, and especially the health of our loved ones, notably the elderly, many of whom lived through the generation that experienced World War II. And yes, we are fearing for our jobs, our security, our livelihood. It is not the same as being hunted down like an animal, gassed, tortured, burnt, shot, murdered. What's actually quite astounding is it's not just happy people on social media. It's also legislators, notably in the United States. One of the examples that was the most recent is the state representative for Idaho, Heather Scott, who said that, the governor's classification of some workers as essential and non-essential was no different than Nazi Germany.
Seriously? It is just absolutely astounding.
She says that workers asked to stay at home to prevent the spread of coronavirus is like the Nazis and concentration camps. She said the non-essential workers got put on a train. Let's just remind the lawmaker, the Republican representative from Idaho, the Jews weren't classed as non-essential workers. They were classed as subhuman, put on a train and sent to their deaths.
It's so not funny that it's funny, because the stupidity of it is tragic. It's tragic.
It's tragic, and these are the kind of people that are making decisions that govern the education, the safety, the financial decisions, and the movements of others at this time.
I don't know what it says about our generation.
Astounding, especially today when we mark VE Day, today and tomorrow. We mark VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, which was the day that the Nazi murderous regime was brought to complete and utter destruction.
Yeah, so speaking of that, because, if we look at, maybe comparing our generation to the last one, let's talk about a favorite captain who's raised money for COVID-19, millions upon millions of pounds. That is the symbol of the last generation, I guess, versus...
Well, they don't call them the greatest generation for nothing. And I think we all need to pay attention to this. Yes, we are a generation that hasn't lived through World War. And this is possibly, one of the most devastating, this pandemic's probably one of the most challenging, and to a point devastating for many that we will live through. Please God, we don't have to see, a situation where we are in a time of global warfare. We in Israel, myself, I've lived through three wars here in the last 10 years that I've lived here. So it's very different when you hear a lawmaker from Idaho whining that people have to stay at home because it's and comparing that to being in the concentration camp. Well, first of all, let's give it up for now Colonel Howard.
Sorry, I know, I got this wrong the other day, and I was schooled, so Nati, why didn't you correct me before I got it wrong again?
I love to see your downfall.
You do, hey? You love it when the listener says, actually he's a colonel, not a captain. Yeah.
Who's just turned 100, who hasn't issued one iota of a complaint. In fact, what I was really touched by, apart from the I think it was £32 million that he raised for the UK's NHS, was him telling people who were sending him walkers and walking sticks and all that to please give us to your local care facilities. He has everything he needs. But here is a centenarian who, with a simple act and the most beautiful intention of helping others, just walked up and down and managed to capture the hearts of people around the world. I think his donors came from 54 countries, including right here in Israel. Our Times of Israel was plotting, his progress with a lot of interest. And I have to admit, guys, I'm a little bit in love with him. I don't know if, you know, Sarah should feel threatened by that or not.
Well, especially now, really, because you could marry him for his money.
Got that shopping to do, Howard.
Right, exactly, exactly. Those bills aren't going to pay themselves.
But, you know, he has been extraordinary. Yes, it has been hard to be kept home. It's been hard to be in a situation of lockdown where you're only allowed out to certain places or for a few hours a day. But look at Israel. We've managed to get through it.
I think that is the point, is that there is light on the other side.
The laws of our healthcare decision makers, of our government, and we are in a situation where we're starting to open up, albeit slowly. It's not comparable to anything that happened in World War II.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. At time is 7:56. Raleen and Marks, we've been following the story here in South Africa around a young woman, 20 years old, who went missing from Ramat Beit Shemesh yesterday. There's been Tehillim or Psalms being said for her. There seems to be, there's not much information that we can gather from here around her disappearance. Is there any more information available to you there in Israel?
Well, I looked through the mainstream media and there wasn't anything that was being reported. So I went into the more localized media, looked in the Beit Shemesh media, a lot of it being reported in Yiddish. But what we do know is that the police are now involved and the police canine unit has been called in. She was last seen in Kasaria, it is, of course, a huge concern. We know in Israel that we deal with a lot of different kinds of circumstances. And when a young person goes missing, you know, immediately, there's a whole lot of thoughts that go through our minds. But this is a story, a situation that we are going to keep an eye on. I do see a lot of South Africans, expats in Israel at the moment, starting to share her picture, starting to get the word out there. And, you know, I'm wondering if the community is trying to keep it maybe a little bit closed for the time being. This is a religious community and maybe does not want this to become part of the mainstream just yet. But it is a story that's starting to get a lot of trajectory amongst the expat community here in Israel.
Yeah, because obviously the concern is, you know, people obviously want to balance what is personal to the family and what is a concern outside of that. Is it, you know, is there crime involved? Is there something else going on? So I guess until people know more information, there's a very, very fine line between being sensitive to privacy, but also doing what you can, I guess, to help. And that's the line that, I would encourage that we try and balance. Because until we understand some of the details around it, and the reality is we might never. And it might not be ours to really understand. But at the same time, you want to be able to help however you can, whether it's through prayer, whether if you're in Israel, maybe assisting in some other way. But it is a very, very, very concerning time. I can hardly even imagine just how concerning, for the family.
And also, I think we need to remember that when the police investigate these kinds of issues, not a lot is made public, and this is to protect the integrity of the investigation and their cases. So I think we also have to look at it from the law enforcement perspective. They want to keep these channels as clinical, as clear as possible, so that nothing is compromised should it be something that is maybe a little bit more nefarious. So I would encourage people to pray, and the expats in South Africa, if anybody, you know, has got any information, please to notify the police and to please keep a lookout for this young lady, and may she please, please, please be returned home safe and as soon as possible.
Amen. Absolutely right. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Karen says amazing insights from Rolene. It keeps me hopeful. Good Shabbos. And I think that is the point, is that you can see Israel finally getting to the other side of this. It doesn't mean it's over, but certainly life is starting to return to normality.